book by a pastor that wrote this book that goes with the book of Nehemiah, that he found these seven principles that if we would all use them, we can put anything back together again, our lives, our marriage, our ministry, our career, business, or whatever. And so we're on number six principle today, and we're going to learn how I will celebrate to sustain my joy, and we'll get to that here in just a little bit. But I just want to give a little bit of history. I try to do this every Sunday because we have, I know y'all have heard this every Sunday when I talk about this, but it, you know, bears repeating. We learn by hearing it again. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There's some history behind Nehemiah, and I just want to share that with you. In 587 B.C., Babylon had attacked Jerusalem and destroyed its walls and the temple, and all but a few of the people of the southern part of Israel were removed from their land and deported to Babylon, where they suffered in captivity. And almost 50 years later, in about 538 B.C., Persia defeated Babylon, and Cyrus, the king of Persia, began to send some of the people back to Israel. And in his first year as king, he sent a group back to rebuild the temple. So that was the first thing that they did. And nearly 100 years later, Nehemiah, an exile from Israel, who had risen to become the cupbearer for the current Persian king, learned that the walls of Jerusalem were still in ruin, and he went back. He asked the king for permission to go back. He went back, and they rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem in 52 days. And we've been studying this out of how he did that, how he motivated the people, and all the things that happened. And so today is the day that we're going to learn about, through this whole process, they celebrated with joy. I encourage you to read the book of Nehemiah. There's just a lot of great stuff in there. But one of the principles, or one of the disciplines, or some of us are like, oh gosh, we're going to learn a discipline today. That's a good word, by the way. If you're a disciple of Christ, you got to know discipline. Or a good habit to have is to learn how to celebrate. And I believe with all of my heart that we as Christians do not know how to celebrate the way God wants us to celebrate. God wants you to enjoy life. Look at somebody and say, God wants you to enjoy life. Wants you to enjoy life. And we always think that, well, I'll enjoy life when I get here. You know, we have this timeline in our mind. When this happens, I'm gonna celebrate. God wants you to celebrate today. Every moment of the day, he wants you to live in celebration. So I titled this message after the song we just heard, Celebrate Good Times, because it was good times when they got the temple rebuilt and then they rebuilt the wall. Philippians 4, verse 4, most of you know this about rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice, but I wanted to read this out of the Message translation because I really like it because it used the word celebrate. It says, celebrate God all day, every day. And I love that. That's a way to live our lives. And what God is saying and what he's trying to teach all of us is that we all have a need of celebration. God made you to celebrate and enjoy life. Amen? But here's the problem, guys. Some Christians seem to think that they have joy without enjoying anything. You know, it's like, come on, let's enjoy life. Let's have fun. Let's put a smile on our face. And yes, there's a time to be serious, but God wants us to have joy, and he wants us to have fun, and he wants us to smile. 1 Timothy 6, verse 17 says this, God richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. God wants you to enjoy life. I'm going to say that over and over again until we all get it. Nehemiah 8, verse 9, that's kind of where we're going to be at, and it's Nehemiah chapter 8 today. And it says, then Nehemiah, the governor, Ezra, the priest and teacher of the law, and the Levites who were instructing the people, said to them, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law, or they listened to God's word. And basically what Nehemiah and Ezra were telling the people, hey, there is a, you know, the book of Ecclesiastes says there is a time to weep, there's a time to grieve. But in this moment in time, for the children of Israel, this is a time to celebrate. It's a time to enjoy life. It's a time to be happy. It's a time to celebrate. And so what I'm going to teach you today, there's five things there on the back of your bulletin. There's fill in the blanks there. I'm going to teach every one of us in here how to celebrate, okay? You never thought you'd come to church and learn how to party, but you did today, all right? Here's number one, how to celebrate. Number one is celebration grows out of worship. Celebration grows out of worship. What we just did here this morning, worshiping God. And the word celebrate comes from the Latin, which means to gather, to honor. That's what we do as a church family, as a fellowship. We come together on Sunday mornings and we worship God to give him honor and praise and glory. And the Bible says that God inhabits the praises of his people. And it's not just on Sunday morning. If you're praising God throughout every day of your life, just being thankful for everything that he's doing for you, God inhabits those kind of praises. God's with you all the time when you're like that, when you're thankful and have that attitude of thankfulness and celebrating him and everything that goes on. If you're taking notes this morning, I always try to give you a sermon in a sentence, because I heard a pastor say one time, he said, if you're going to teach God's word for the love of God and his people, please make a point. And I thought, that's pretty good stuff. So here's my sermon in a sentence. Celebration connected to the worship of God is an infinite source of joy. I'm going to say that again. Celebration connected to the worship of God is an infinite source of joy. And you can post and tweet that, all right? Celebration connected to the worship of God is an infinite source of joy. The problem is, guys, and I'm talking about myself, I've had these days too, a lot of Christians look like they've been baptized in vinegar and taken the Lord's Supper with lemon juice. We can't live like that, guys. That's not a very good advertisement. That's not a good witness for the Lord, is when we look like that we've been baptized in vinegar and taken the Lord's Supper with lemon juice. In fact, talking about the Lord's Supper that we have up here every Sunday and there in the back, and I encourage you to do a word study on the word celebrate in Scripture. And one of the first ones that comes up in the New Testament is in the book of Matthew, where it says that Jesus wanted to celebrate the Passover with his disciples. He wanted to celebrate. And God is a God of celebration. I've known this, but as I've studied this week, it's amazing to me. All the feasts in Scripture, when you go in the Old Testament, all the feasts were feasts of celebration because he wanted his people to celebrate and have a good time. Celebrate and have a good time. All right, here's number two. Number two, celebrate with an attitude of unity. And this is Nehemiah 8, verse 1. All the people came together as one in the square before the water gate. And I love that. It says they came together as one. There's also a passage in the book of Acts that talks about when the people were in unity and one accord, that's when the Holy Spirit came at the day of Pentecost. Guys, I'm telling you, we've got to celebrate with an attitude of unity. Meaning this, if you've got odds with somebody, you know, I know, how many of you in here are married, okay, have a spouse, all right. When there's a rift between her and I can tell you worship is not as fun. Amen? Anybody with me? But when everything's right on the home front, in the family, and relationships, then there's just this beauty that happens in worship. The same thing happens in a church family. When you have a church family that's all fighting and at odds with one another, it puts a strain on the spirit there. The Holy Spirit can't move in that kind of an atmosphere. And so we got to have an atmosphere of unity. So if you ever come to a place of worship and you have something against a brother or sister, you know, get things right, you know. And I'm not saying that every time you've got to go to that brother and sister, because that brother and sister may not even know that you're offended with them or whatever. You know, have you ever had somebody come up to you and say, you know what, I forgive you? And I'm like, well, what in the heck did I do? You know what I'm saying? You know, sometimes you need to, there are times for that, but then there's times that you just need to go to God and just release all that junk to God, right? I have found out that 95% of the stuff that we get offended over is the enemy playing mind games with us. And we need to cast down those imaginations and take those thoughts captive and stay in unity. And everybody said, all right, there's a great scripture of this in Psalms chapter 133, and when it talks about unity, and I just want you to listen to the words here of how the anointing of God flows down, the Holy Spirit flows down when there's unity. It says, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. God puts his blessings on unity. your marriage, for your marriage to be blessed, it needs to be unified. For your family to be blessed, it needs to be unified. For your church family to be blessed, it needs to be unified. I can tell you as a pastor, the fires that I put out are when people get in disunity. Because when we get in disunity, then the Holy Spirit can't do what he wants to do. Does everybody understand that? So as soon as you feel that, I love what my dad said one time. He was telling me, we talked about it, I think this week or last week, he was telling me, Dad's like, ooh, he's going to use me as an illustration. But Dad was telling me something about in his work, and he was having a hard time with some people, some of his supervisors, and he said, I was praying for them to change. And he said, and then one day, he goes, as I was praying, the Holy Spirit tapped me on the shoulder and said, Ronnie, I've been trying to get to you to change. Sometimes it's us that needs to change, amen, not the people around us. And it works every time when you listen to the Holy Spirit and get in unity with others, and the Holy Spirit can work. I love this scripture in Hebrews 10, verse 25. It says, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. That's talking about the day that Jesus returns. And he's telling us to not give up the habit of meeting together. We need each other. We need Christian community, Christian fellowship. The cross, we have a relationship with God, and then it has this beam, and it's our relationship with other people. I think one of the biggest things that COVID taught me this past year of 2020, when we weren't meeting together here, is how much I missed you guys and missed seeing people here. Instead of just a few sitting back there, and thank God for technology and everything, but just missing people, missing fellowship, missing seeing, you know, Rachel and Crash came up for prayer this morning, and just, we need each other. I love what Colt, my nephew, had said. He was talking about, because we can't, you know, canceling Thanksgiving and Christmas due to COVID and all that, and he was like, man, I miss being with my family, you know, and even the younger generation, you know. Colt, he likes to hunt, but he was hunting fish, but he was like, man, I miss being with my family, and I miss being with my church family. We need each other, and as we're living in these last days, you're finding out how much in technology, there's so much you can connect through technology, but the face-to-face interaction and needing each other is, that's how God designed us, and you can't replace that. And I thank God for technology, and I know we've got plenty are watching online this morning, but you need to congregate with people. You can't just stay home and watch it on TV, right? That's good if you're sick or you're out of town or whatever. And I'm not saying, well, Pastor Mark said, I've got to have perfect church attendance or I can't go to heaven. No, I did not say that, okay? If the average churchgoer goes to church 2 times a month, all right? I hope you're better than that. Strive to be better than that, because we need each other. We need each other. But there's going to be Sundays that you can't come. There's going to be Sundays that I can't be here either. But we do need each other. How many of you found that out, that we need each other? We need God and we need each other. I need to see Luke up there on the drums and worshiping. By the way, give Luke a big hand clap. I don't know if you know how hard that is, but he was leading worship while he was playing drums this morning. I can't tap my foot and do anything else. I can just tap my foot. Here's number three. Good job, Luke. Here's number three. Celebrate with a love for God's word. I believe that there's something that the Lord is doing in the body of Christ right now is causing Christians to fall in love with his word all over again. In Nehemiah 8, we're still in chapter 8, says in verse 3 and 8, he says that he read it aloud, talking about the word of God, from daybreak till noon as he faced the square before the water gate in the presence of the men, women, and others who could understand. And all the people listened attentively. I want you to notice how they listened to the word of God, or to the book of the law. And it says they read, verse 8 says, they read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people understood what was being read. That's one of the things I try to do, is try to break down the word of God to make it simple. I hope I do. That's my responsibility as a pastor and a teacher to do that. I try to do that every Sunday, bring you a good word from God, and it be something that you can understand and not talk over people's heads, and apply it to your life that you can use today. And that's what was happening here. And it caused the people to celebrate because they were falling in love with the word of God all over again. And I notice this, they listened attentively. They weren't on their phone. They weren't Facebooking and all that kind of stuff. They listened attentively. All right? That's when you know you're really falling in love with the Word of God, when you listen to the Word attentively. That's a hard word to say for me for some reason. All right, Nehemiah 8, verse 6 says, Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands and responded, Amen, amen. Then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. I want you to notice that they raised their hands. You can raise your hands in church and worship God. Amen. You can. It's scriptural. I can remember the first time I was raised Southern Baptist. That's where I was raised. And I can remember going into a church where they were raising their hands, and I thought, these people are messed up. You know, they're crazy. Something's going on here. And then finally, in my walk with God, I kind of started like this. And I don't know why, guys, but the raising of hands is something is hard for a lot of people to do. But once I got to here, it was like a whole new freedom came upon me. It's the weirdest thing, just raising your hands, you know, and worshiping God. That's something, guys, I just encourage you to do it. You don't have to do it right here in front of me and in church, but when you're at home worshiping God, just start doing that. And it's a sign of surrender. God, I'm surrendering everything to you. And it's scriptural. It's all through the Word of God about raising your hands to the Lord. And that says they also bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. This brings me to my next point, number 4 on your outline, is celebrating in ways we may not have expected. That's just one little simple way that when I saw other people worshiping like that, I was like, they're crazy. You know, they're lunatics. There's something going on. This weird. And the reason why, guys, is because I didn't know the Word of God. I didn't know that it was all through the Word of God. And so that liberated me when I began to do that. And I'm just encouraging you to do that. And so that was some way that I learned to celebrate and worship God in a way that I may not have expected, that I didn't understand, but I finally got in the Word of God and figured it out for myself. And God has designed our human minds to need both routine and variety, guys. The routine of coming to church on Sunday morning, but also, like today, the variety of seeing Luke up here on the drums, okay? And Mark said, Pastor, we're stretching this today. You know, you need routine and variety in life. And that's what you need to walk by faith. This is Nehemiah 8, verses 10 through 12, and it says this. Nehemiah said, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks. How many of you love sweet tea? Oh, yeah. And send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. There's Nehemiah 8, verse 10, that famous scripture. The Levites calmed all the people, saying, be still, for this is a holy day. Do not grieve. Then all the people went away to eat and drink, to send portions of food, and to celebrate with great joy, because they now understood the words that had been made known to them. Now, here's this point number 4 is celebrating in ways we may not have expected. And I'm going to show you 3 things in Nehemiah 8, verses 10 through 12, the way that they worshiped and celebrated God. So here's 3 directions for celebration in Nehemiah chapter 8. Number 1 is they feasted. They ate. Guys, it's good to eat, all right? There's a time for fasting, and then there's a time for feasting. And it's coming here pretty quick, okay, at about high noon. You know, Jada's got a brisket on at home, and man, it was smelling good when we left. I can't wait to get home and feast. But everything, you know, even in church and ministry, everything revolves around food, right? That's why I have to watch how much I eat. And I'm a pretty big guy because I like to eat. But here's the deal. I don't worship food, but I get close sometimes. I'm just kidding. But it's all through the Word of God. God wants us to feast and celebrate and have a good. I'm just thinking about our daughter Taya just finishing up college and getting her master's degree in counseling and everything. And so Jada said, this is what Jada texted her, said, what do you want your mom to prepare for you to eat? And, of course, in our household, our favorite dish that Jada makes is called cheesy enchiladas. And they're the bomb.com. and I think there's probably 2 pounds of Velveeta in it. But it, you know, it can clog some arteries pretty quick. But it's so good, and so we celebrated her graduating with that feast, and all through the scripture, guys, all the feasts in the Bible, there was food involved in it. That's why even in fellowship, it's scriptural to feast and to have a good time and celebrate. The second thing is that you'll notice in Nehemiah 8, verses 10 through 12, he told them to share it with others. Don't just consume it yourself. You know, share it with others. You know, Jada, when I was thinking about when she made this meal, she was like, okay, I'm going to send all this home with Tay and Cameron. I was like, no, you're not. We need some here at the house, too. So you need to learn how to share. And then the last thing is he told them to be still. Be still. And I don't know if, you know, guys, we're talking about celebrating, and you're like, well, how do you celebrate and be still at the same time? And I was thinking about this. That was a question I asked myself when I was reading these scriptures. I was like, Lord, how do I tell people how to celebrate but also be still at the same time? He said, Mark, there's always moments in life where it's just that when people find themselves in those moments where they're just still, whether it's out in nature, and you're just like, wow, God, you created that for me to see that. And so when I was thinking about that, how do you be still and celebrate? I'm going to tell you what the image that came to me in my life that happened here about 2 years ago was when our first grandson was born and when Jarek was born. And I was holding him, and I was looking at him, and I kissed him, and I was thanking God for him. And it was just one of those holy moments there in a hospital and just saying, God, thank you for this little guy, you know, and just being still and holding him and just saying, God, you're so awesome, and just celebrating life. And you're going to have those moments in your life where you're just going to, you'll just be still, and you'll just be, you know, on the inside of you. It may not just come out of your mouth or anything, but you'll just be worshiping God and thanking him for what's going on. And everybody said, amen. All right, here's number five. This is where we're getting to today. Number five is the result of Christ-centered celebration is this. Nehemiah 8, verse 10, this is where why God wants you to celebrate. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. That is the result of Christ-centered celebration or worship, is the joy of the Lord is your strength. In John 15, verses 10 through 12, this is what Jesus said. He said, if you keep my commands, you'll remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. So basically what the Lord is saying, he says, I want you to remain in my love, and then I also want you to love other people. Guys, it's so simple. This is the simple formula for joy. Stay connected to God and stay connected to other people. Love God and love people. And if any of that ever gets off, then you need to forgive and get back in there. All right? And love God and love people. A loss of joy in your life is always a call to get closer to God and to get closer to other believers. I know this as a pastor. When people start not attending church, something's going on, then they're losing that connection. I'm not saying that they've lost their salvation or anything like that, but I'm saying they've lost their connection with God and their connection with other people. And when that happens, the enemy knows that, and you're a sitting duck for the enemy. Everybody, you know. So don't let that happen to yourself. Don't let yourself get isolated. The days that you feel like, I just want to stay home because I'm depressed and I just don't want, that's the day you need to get up and go to church and be around other people. And everybody said, amen. Something that happened, let me read this last scripture. And this is where Jesus is still talking to his disciples, and I love this scripture, John 16, verse 20. Out of the New Living Translation, and this is Jesus. He says, I tell you the truth, you will weep and mourn over what is going to happen to me. And he's talking about the cross, his death, his burial. And he says, but the world will rejoice. You will grieve, but your grief will suddenly turn to wonderful joy. And he's talking about the resurrection. Now, this is what I want to tell you guys, and this is how I felt like I needed to end today's message, is there's going to be, you know, I was talking to Micah. I came up to Micah today. His grandmother just went home with the Lord, and I just said, Mike, I'm so sorry to hear about your grandma. And he was just thankful that she's not suffering anymore and that she knew Jesus and she's at home and that she's in his future. And because Micah knows that we grieve here, but we grieve with hope. And everybody said amen. This past week, Jade and I, we pray over you guys. We prayed over you this morning as we were driving in. And we were praying, and this like we do every day. But this particular morning, I was praying, and I was just driving down the road, and she was on my speaker. You know, sometimes we don't get that time to pray at home, so we try to pray every day. And even if I have to leave the house, and I'll call her up and say, honey, let's pray. She's my prayer partner. And we're praying. I'm just driving down the road just like any other day that we've prayed. But this day, it hits me. And I don't know why. You know how you had those days where just, you know, you feel the Holy Spirit more than you do? The Holy Spirit's always there. But this particular day, and I'll tell you what was going on in my mind and my heart, I was so thankful for life. I was so thankful that I was saved and that I know it. And this happens every now and then, but I had this revelation. I know this revelation, but that particular day, it just hit me big time when we were praying. And the prayer was this: I was so thankful for life, and I was so thankful for my salvation. And then I told Jada when we was praying, I was like, we're going to get to see our boy again because of Jesus, you know? I started crying, but it was happy tears. Have you ever cried and laughed at the same time, cried and had joy? I mean, that was what I was doing. It just hit me big time, even though I know this, I know the Word of God, I know I'm saved, but that particular day I was so thankful and so joy-filled that he's in my future. This life is not all that there is. Thank God. And for all of eternity, guys, we're going to be celebrating around the throne of God with other believers and family that's gone on before us, and we're going to have a party. Amen? Like the world has never partied before, and it's going to be awesome. I have family members that are there now, you know, and I'm ready to see them. But there's still work to do here. And God's like, so God doesn't want you to hate your life now because, you know, then love your life when you get to heaven. He wants you to love your life right now. Eternity's right now. If you're saved, you're in eternity right now. You know, there's just going to be another step that you're going to take someday. You're just going to step over in glory, and it's going to be awesome. You know, I cannot wait, guys. I want to end with this. Guys, I love you guys, and thank you for letting me be your pastor. You know, and just like, you know, with Micah this morning, he was just like, you know, Pastor, it's part of life, you know. I hate it that we live in a fallen world and that there's death and sorrow and grief, but thank God for Jesus and thank God for the cross and thank God for the resurrection and that we can grieve with hope. And everybody said, and that's where our joy, that's a joy that no devil in hell can take away from you. Amen. All right, I want everybody to bow your heads in here this morning, and I want to lead you in a prayer of salvation. I do this every Sunday because I don't know where everybody's at with the Lord when they come to church on Sundays, and we put this on social media and also on the radio. And so I want the honor and the privilege of leading you in a prayer of salvation, and it's real simple and easy. In Romans chapter 10, the Apostle Paul told us, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So even if you have done that before, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen. Is everybody joy-filled this morning? Amen. Ready to celebrate, ready to party, have a good week. All right, Jada, would you come up here with me, babe? And we're going to speak a blessing over you guys. So I want everybody to stand up. Keaton, have celebrate good times, ready to rock and roll, buddy, as we go out today. All right, I want to speak this blessing over y'all. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the Word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it, and everybody said, amen. God bless you. Hug somebody's neck and say, celebrate good times. Amen.